Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I'm Attorney Lee Jones. I represent the appellant in this case, Mr. Eddie Morant, United States versus Eddie Morant. Your Honor, the crux of my argument is, based on the Federal Rules of Evidence 404B. The government wanted to and was allowed by the trial court to portray Mr. Morant as a womanizing, drug-dealing gambler. None of these allegations have any bearing at all on the charges indicated in the indictment. Mr. Morant was charged with 10 counts of armed bank robbery and various gun-related charges. He was found guilty of 9 of those 13 counts, and the jury was hung as to 4. But the government's goal from the beginning of this trial was clearly to portray Mr. Morant, as I've indicated, as a womanizing, gambling, drug dealer, hoping that the jury would believe that Mr. Morant, being of such poor character, must have done something wrong and would find him guilty of the charges alleged in these court proceedings. In this case, a motion was filed and appropriate objections were timely made, and the district court abused its discretion by allowing these other acts to be presented to the jury by the government. Under the four-part test...
Wasn't it important, or at least helpful to the government, to show the connection that he had with these women, that he was using cars and houses?
Yes, sir. The fact that he was involved with these women could have been introduced and probably should have been introduced just to show the overall picture. But to harp on the fact that he had children with these women, to portray him as having more than one child with more than one woman was clearly prejudicial.
Now, was that, did they make reference to that in the babies in the closing argument? I know there was just, there were a couple questions asked of each of them about having, you know, whether he had a baby with them and when was the baby born and the baby's name, and it was a little girl. I mean, I know that was, those questions were asked, but was that argued in closing argument? About having the babies?
It was alluded to. It was not hammered in the closing argument. The testimony presented by the co-actor, Joseph Lombardo, it was indicated the number of children he had and the number of different mothers that he had with those that the children came from.
And the co-defendant made that argument?
The state made that argument through the co-defendant. Yeah. To determine the admissibility of evidence under Rule 404B, the evidence must be directed toward establishing a matter and issue. The evidence must show that the other act is similar enough and close enough in time to be relevant. The evidence must be sufficient to support a jury finding that the defendant committed the similar act. And I believe, most importantly, the probative value of the evidence must not be substantially outweighed by the unfair prejudice. And looking at the first prong of this test, none of the evidence, the character evidence, even comes close to helping establish any matter at issue in this case. It is in no way relevant in this case how many children he had or with how many different women he had those children, whether or not he was a drug dealer or a gambler, or how often he went to the casino. These facts clearly show that Mr. Morant may have been a person of poor character, but they are in no way related to bank robbery or possessing illegal firearms.
When you're dealing with the standard of prejudice and outweighing the probative value, I mean, we look at sort of the total picture and what the evidence was in this case, and not that necessarily looking at the fact that the jury hung on counts means everything, but certainly the jury was able to weigh, it seems to me, the evidence as they found counts they could not agree on. So when you talk about the prejudicial impact of this testimony, is it really that significant?
I believe that it is. To portray someone to be a drug dealer especially, just put the negative connotation in most people's minds.
Well, the evidence with respect to drugs, didn't it just have to do with the co-defendant?
It had to do
with the fact that he gave him drugs before each of these robberies, and that was basically what his fee was?
That was not the only witness. There was also a female witness introduced who indicated that she purchased narcotics from Mr. Morant also. And the co-defendant also indicated that Mr. Morant did sell narcotics not only to him but to others as well.
And how did the government use that testimony? I understand as it relates to the co-defendant.
Okay.
And you're not quarreling. You realize that's relevant.
Right. Yes, sir.
Okay. So as to this other dealing.
In my opinion, the government used it basically as a floor, just threw it around the courtroom, indicating that Mr. Morant was in fact a drug dealer. To say it one time to the co-defendant is one thing. They did not harp on that during closing arguments either, but to have it presented to the jury multiple times through two different witnesses is clearly
prejudicial. Was any objection made to the harping point? Was any objection made to the harping point? The prosecutor is entitled to show the relation among the defendants and why they were engaged in robberies. The point you're now making is that they went overboard on it. Was any objection made to the going overboard portion?
Yes, sir. Objections were made throughout the proceedings, prior to each witness testifying, and also prior to the trial, objections were made.
The problem is that objections prior to the trial don't have any, or prior to a witness testifying, don't have anything to do with the going overboard question.
Yes, sir.
Right. Were objections made to that? For example, were objections made to the introduction of the names and numbers of the children?
Objections were made as to the children, the number of children being introduced. Objections were made as to any information.
Where can I find that? See, I'm looking for a difference between just objecting to knowledge of his relations with these women and objecting to harping on the details.
Yes, sir. I understand.
Okay, so where can I find the objections to a harping on the details?
I don't have that place in the court record available at this time, Your Honor.
The prosecutor says there were none, if I recall their brief.
Well, that's what they indicated.
Well, but that's why it's important for you to be able to tell me where they were made.
Well, Your Honor, the objections were made regarding the testimony being introduced, period.
Yeah, I know, but that's not the question I'm asking, nor was it the point the prosecutor made. There's a difference between objecting to any testimony about the relations with women, because you're going to lose that, and objecting to complaints that one went overboard, used them in improper ways, and so on.
Well,
that's what I want the reference to. Where was that objection?
Your Honor, there were references, there were objections made multiple times regarding the information, which, and looked at in its totality, could... If I had to make the same objection multiple times, clearly there was a piling on by the state regarding introduction of this testimony. Under the second prong, the government...
Let me ask you this. Did you ask for was there a request for a standing objection to these, you know, after you got the pretrial ruling? Was there a request that whenever the children were mentioned, that you had a standing objection, but you didn't want to, or counsel didn't want to, stand up and pop up each time it was raised? Was that kind of record made?
Yeah, exactly. It was. With Judge Corbett.
And do you know where that is in the transcript?
It was made prior to Joseph Lombardo testifying, and also prior to Fran Gray testifying.
That you had a standing objection.
Yes, Your Honor. I did not want to, as you indicated, pop up repeatedly objecting. And Judge Clavert would, on numerous occasions, indicate that my standing objection for the record. In looking at the second prong, neither drug dealing nor womanizing, having more than one child with more than one woman, anyway relates to any of these allegations, once again. Information was not introduced that Mr. Morant needed money to support his children. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, the mothers of the children actually were employed and had health insurance, so there weren't any reasons to provide health care for the children. He had one child that was actually had suffered from an illness, so there was no need to rob banks in order to support his children. The mothers who testified indicated that the children were well taken care of and that Mr. Morant was also a very good father.
Under what theory could his giving drugs to Lombardo, is that
Lombardo? Yes, sir.
How could that be kept out of a trial like this?
I don't think it could have been kept out as it was presented by the government. The issue was the way in which it was presented. The jury did not need to hear information that he presented drugs to others than Joe Lombardo.
Well, the only other one was one of the women who gave him a car.
Right.
But isn't that all kind of wrapped up in the relationships of these people?
To a certain extent, yes. But again, to portray him as a drug dealer, if it was just Joseph Lombardo indicating, I received drugs from Mr. Morant in order to rob these banks, that's one thing. But to indicate that he provided drugs to another to use their vehicle or provided drugs to other individuals in the past clearly overstepped the bounds of the court's discretion. And we believe that the court in this case, the court clearly abused its discretion.
You're in your rebuttal time if you want to save time.
I'd like to save some time, please.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Actually, it's now expired. Ms. Jacobs.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honor. I'd like to start by clarifying a couple of things in terms of what was preserved and not preserved. With respect to the drug dealing evidence, Mr. Jones and Mr. Morant did preserve the objection to that evidence at pages 403 and 404 of the record. There is a standing or continuing objection. Defense counsel had objected. Judge Clivert asked whether this was going to be a continuing objection to that line of inquiry. He said yes, and so I think it's pretty clear that there was a continuing objection there. With respect to the relationship evidence or the evidence with these women, I am not aware of any standing objection. And in fact, I can give the court a couple of examples at page 266.
I don't even know what a standing objection means if there are different reasons for objecting to the evidence. One reason is, I don't want any of this in. Second reason is, they're harping on it and going overboard. You have to alert the district court to the reason for your objection. And saying, I've got a standing objection on reason number one doesn't alert the district court to reason number two. Is there any place where what I'm now referring to as reason number two was called to the district court's attention?
I don't believe so, at least not that I'm aware. For example, in the relationship type evidence, when one of the police officers was testifying, just as an example, there was an objection at page 266 of the record when the question was asked, whose baby was that in the backseat of the car? If you'll recall, Mr. Morant fled away from the car. Erica Wright, his girlfriend, was in the car, and there was a baby in the backseat. The question was asked, whose baby is that? Or was that Erica Wright's baby? The answer was no. The question was posed, whose? There was an objection, and it was sustained. Another example is when Erica Wright herself was testifying, there was a question about how long they were romantically involved. There was an objection, and it was sustained. So I don't think there was a continuing or standing objection, and I don't think there was ever an objection in the trial that the government was going overboard on this relationship evidence. In fact, Mr. Morant testified. He testified to his relationships with all three of these women. He testified to the fact that he was having what I think he called something like an illicit affair. I'm not sure he used those words. With Erica Wright at the time that he was living with Crystal Wilkes. He testified that he had fathered children by those two women. So all of this came in through his testimony as well as the testimony from some of the witnesses during the government's case in chief. And Judge Evans, as you indicated, the reason the government was presenting the evidence was in fact to make these connections. It was important. In addition to the evidence that the government had from Joe Lombardo, who was testifying directly that Mr. Morant was involved in these robberies, the way that evidence was corroborated was through not eyewitness identification by a teller or something like that, but instead citizen witnesses saying, I saw the black Jetta drive away from one of the robberies, or I saw the Pontiac Grand Am drive away from one of the robberies. And so we needed to establish those connections in order to prove the robberies.
Let's talk about the drug dealing, because sure. Clearly with respect to the co-defendant, an appellant admits that it was relevant to that, the fact that he would give him the drugs and then he'd participate in the robbery. What about the other drug evidence? Go over that for us and tell us why that was relevant.
Sure. The evidence was first that he, as you said, was giving crack cocaine to Joe Lombardo. Mr. Lombardo also testified that in addition to him giving it to him in order to kind of get him jazzed up for the robberies, he would pay him in crack cocaine. Mr. Lombardo testified that he was sort of a errand type person or helper or something for Mr. Morant. He would clean his house, he would do his yard work, he would make deliveries for him, and he was also delivering drugs. And so it really
that
established...
That seems pretty odd that you'd want to jazz somebody up to
I think it was,
a robbery.
I think it was to sort of relieve him of his own, Mr. Lombardo, of his fears so that he could go in and do these robberies. At least that's the way he sort of characterized it. And in fact, Mr. Lombardo characterized their entire relationship was based on drugs, was his testimony at page 403. In addition, he the other evidence, the other primary evidence that Mr. Morant was dealing drugs was with respect to Fran Gray, the woman that defense counsel referred to. Mr. Morant borrowed one of her cars to do one of the robberies. So again, it was important that we established the relationship between Fran Gray and Mr. Morant, and that relationship was based on the fact that Mr. Morant was providing her with cocaine.
And was there anything else relating to the drug dealing? Was that it then? So we have the errands by the co-defendant being run and Fran Gray.
I think that's generally what it was. Mr. Lombardo definitely testified that Mr. Morant was, I don't know if you use the term drug dealer, but that he was a drug trafficker in Milwaukee, and that was part of their relationship. Now, I can't say that the testimony was the only drugs that he ever delivered was the ones that he asked me to, or the only ones that he was trafficking were the ones that he asked me to traffic. It wasn't that discreet. But the evidence was introduced for the purpose of that connection and the relationship between Mr. Lombardo and Mr. Morant. There was also a 404B instruction that was given with respect to both the gambling evidence and the 404B, and the drug dealing evidence really was limited to those couple of purposes.
And with respect to the gambling, what testimony was there that the gambling was the motivation for the robbery? Did any witness testify to that?
Mr. Lombardo testified to that. He testified at the very beginning of his testimony in explaining how they decided to rob banks. I think the testimony was something to the effect of they were sitting in front of the TV one day and sort of lamenting the fact that Mr. Morant had little money, had rising medical bills, and had lost a lot of money and was regularly losing money in the tens of thousands of dollars gambling. And the idea was they saw a bank robbery on the news, and that gave them the idea to rob banks in order to take care of these financial problems. I would also point out, in addition, during the pretrial conference in the case, defense counsel did indicate that the gambling evidence was proper motive evidence. There's a short transcript that's contained in our appendix as well as their written filings, but they do indicate that there is a color, I think they use the word colorable claim, that the gambling evidence is proper motive evidence under 404B, and that's exactly how it was introduced along with the cautionary instruction explaining as much to the jury. If the court has no further questions, I would ask that Mr. Morant's conviction and sentence be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Jones, your time did expire at the end, but we want to thank you very much for accepting the appointment and the assistance you've been to your client in the court. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. Our next case is